Notes over there, buddy. Have you ever thought it would be nice to go back to when you were 18 years old and you knew everything? Wouldn't that be awesome just to know everything that you thought you knew as a kid? I found out that it wasn't until about 30, maybe 35, that you realize I am as dumb as a box of rocks. I don't know anything. And we have some of those moments in our lives where it just kind of hits us in the face that we have no idea what we're doing. Case and example, you join the military. Come to find out, you don't even know how to make your bed. All right? Or you bring home that firstborn baby, that first child. You realize just how stupid you really are. You have no clue on how to deal with that kid, how to change diaper. You just realize that you are ignorant as a box of rocks. I think one of the most difficult things in life to know is this, that you don't know. One of the most difficult things in life to know is that you don't know. So far, we've been looking at the path for the last several weeks, and just as a quick review of what we've learned that the principle of the path means that your direction determines your destination. We have learned that. We've learned that you get to your destination not by your hopes or not by your intentions or by chance, but when you arrive to where you're going, it's because that's the map you followed. We have discovered that you learn the difference between how prudent people and simple people approach course corrections. They weigh the possibilities. A prudent person will think, well, what could be the possible outcome? Where may this road go? The simple person just puts the hammer to the floor and goes towards a 55 mile an hour towards the wall, and they hope the wall will be gone when they get there. There's a difference the way prudent people and simple people both take course corrections. We have learned that in order to change the path you're on, it means that you're going to have to do something different. It means that it may require you to sacrifice something. It means that you may have to be a little embarrassed. You might have to take some shade from people, especially people you're leaving behind. It means that at the end of the day, there might be a big sigh of relief for you because you did make the correction. Today, we're going to discover how to figure out what we don't know. We're going to figure out that when we find out what we don't know, we're better equipped to avoid some of the potholes and pitfalls that lie in our path. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 15:22. Plans go wrong with too few counselors. Many counselors bring success. We can know that we don't know by seeking advice from advisors. More importantly, not that we just seek advice, but when we seek advice, we need to seek advice from the right people. Not everybody needs to give you advice. Not everybody needs to give you and me counsel. Many times we fail to seek advice. We fail to seek counsel because, number one, we think we know everything. And by the way, that's ignorant. So we're showing that we truly are ignorant. Number two, another reason why we fail to seek counsel or advice is this. It feels better to have people think you know that you know. That thing is called pride. Thirdly, it's just too much work to admit that we don't know. So it's laziness. So the things that stop us from going and getting advice and counsel from people are these three things, basically. Ignorance, pride, and laziness. Ignorance, pride, and laziness. So we make plans without running it past anyone, and oftentimes those plans fail. And even when those plans don't fail, maybe they're not as successful or as effective as they may have been had we sought counsel, had we sought advice, had we sought somebody else's mind. Other times, we get counsel, but it's from the wrong people. We get advice, but it's from the wrong people. Back in December of next year, 2019, we're going back to Israel. This will be Ms. Pam and I's fourth trip there. If you were going to go to Israel with us, prudent people will begin to ask questions like, what do I pack? What should I bring a jacket? Should I be scared? What are some sights I need to see? What kind of things do I need to put in my suitcase? How big does my suitcase need to be? What can you tell me? Now, if you plan to go to Israel, probably one of the most prudent and smart things you could do is ask somebody who's been there. Ask somebody who's been to the land. Get the lowdown on the hoedown from somebody who has walked in the land? What do I need to pack? What do I need to expect? You wouldn't ask somebody who hasn't been there. You'd ask somebody who has been there. Perhaps you might even might want to ask somebody who's been there more than once. Preach, why you tell me that? Because oftentimes this, we ask advice from people who've never been to where we want to be. They've not been there professionally. They've not been there personally. They've not been there as a parent. They've not been there as a spouse. They've not been there financially. And so we tend to ask people advice, and they have no idea what it's like to be where you want to be because they've never been there themselves. So why is it we go to people who haven't been where we want to be in our lives, whether it's parenting, marriage, spiritually, financially? Why are we reticent to take advice from people who have been where we want to go, who have been on that path and have been successful, came through with their reputation and their character intact? Why are we so resistant and reticent to take advice from the right people? Why don't we seek advice from the right counselors? I think we can boil it down to a few things. Number one, it's easier just to do what our parents did. It's easier to model what our parents did to raise us. And you know, most of us probably didn't. I'll just speak for myself. You know, I didn't have perfect parents, and I know that I'm not a perfect father. But oftentimes when I don't know what to do as a parent, I will just default and take a page from my mom and dad's book. And then I wonder why my kids are turning out just exactly the way I am. It's because I'm raising them exactly the way I was raised. Or I see a couple who are treating their spouse the way they saw their mom treat their dad, or the way they saw their dad treat their mom. And they wonder, why am I just as miserable as my mom and dad seem to be? Because you're using the same map that your mom and dad played from. You're using the same map that got them to where they are. You see, direction determines destination. We cannot outrun that particular fact. Friends. I believe that friends are great for friendship, but they're not always the best advisors. I think friends are great for relationship, but they're not always the greatest counselors. Many times the advice of a friend will get us off onto the wrong path and get us going in the wrong direction. Well, they're your friend, right? But that doesn't mean that all your friends need to be your counselors. And I believe the reason why we mess this up is because something that is called the herd assumption. Herd assumption. We think, well, you know, all my friends are mortgaged to the hilt. All my friends are driving 2 lease cars. All my friends are working 60 hours a week and seeing their own family on the weekend. All of my friends are trying to get a home equity line of credit. Everybody's doing it, so it must be the right thing to do. That's what I call the herd assumption. The fact of the matter is, realize that that whole herd is heading to the slaughterhouse. If you're in the herd, it just means you're going to wind up in the same spot they are going to. Just because everybody is doing it, doesn't mean it's right. Just because everybody is doing it, it doesn't mean it is the correct path. Taking cues from people who share your season of life is basically equivalent to asking someone about Israel who's never been there. Each of these three directions, we follow our parents, we follow our friends, and we have the herd assumption. Each one of these three items lead us in the wrong direction. Here's the thing. Usually, by the time our world falls apart, usually things are too far gone for us to do anything about it. We realize that we've made bad choices, we made bad decisions, we did what our parents did, or we followed the herd, or we took friends' advice when we shouldn't have taken friends' advice. And usually by the time it becomes obvious to us that we did the wrong thing, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. So, how do we get good advice along the path? What's the secret of getting help along the road? I'm going to give you a few things today, and I'm going to give you 4 quick things. The secret of getting good counsel or getting good advice. Number one is this. No matter how old you are or no matter how far along you are in your journey, you will always need, I always need counsel. I will always need somebody to tell me what I should do. No matter how many degrees, no matter what I've been through or how old I am or how many birthdays I celebrate, I will always need counsel. No one gets to the place where he or she no longer needs good advice. No one gets to the place where they no longer need counsel. I want you to be open and honest concerning the fact this. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. I don't have it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. And the sooner you and I can get to that place where we realize, I'm always going to need help. I'm always going to need advice. I'm always going to need somebody. The sooner we'll understand that I can get help along this road. Solomon said this, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Another translation puts it like this, I want those already wise to become wiser and to become instructors or to become leaders. The Bible says, hey, no matter how much you think you know, there's always other things you don't know. No matter how wise you are, you can always be wiser. Wise people listen to counselors and they get wiser. Prudent, discerning people listen to guidance and they get further along the path. No one gets to the place where he or she no longer needs wise counsel. And the people who believe that are definitely people you don't need to take advice from. Number two, asking more than one person's advice. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Have you ever noticed that the most important decisions in my life and in your life, they always seem to have a sense of urgency to them? I've got to make a decision right now. I've got to make a choice at this moment. I have got to determine what I'm going to do right now. And it keeps us up at night. It permeates our thinking. It resides in our mind and it consumes our nights. We're thinking about this 24/7. And what tends to happen is this. We tend to make decisions too quickly. We tend to make decisions too hastily. I want you to read these words out loud with me, but in abundance. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. One more time, like you listen to me. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. When a decision is important to you, this is the piece of advice I believe the Word of God is giving to us today. When a decision is urgent to you, get more than one set of eyes on the problem. Get more than one set of ears to hear the situation. When the decision is important to you, ask more than one person for advice. Number three, admit that you don't know what to do. And by the way, that's going right back to pride. I believe that pride is the number one enemy to the path. Successful people are open to the fact that they don't know everything they need to know. Successful people who follow the path, they are aware of the fact that they don't have all the answers. And they're quick to go to people who do. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise listens to advice. In other words, the path the fool is on, it just seems like the right path to the fool. Whether the fool is a she or a he. The path that the fool is on, well, they don't even know that it's wrong. They don't know. In other words, the path of the fool seems right to him or her. So a friend may come to them and say, hey, baby, I'm worried about the direction you're heading. The fool will say, oh, you don't got to worry about me. I know what I'm doing. Where a wise person will say, well, tell me what you see. A father can tell his son, son, I'm concerned about some of the habits you're developing. A foolish son will say, hey, dad, you're old-fashioned. Don't worry about me, daddy. A wise son will say, well, dad, tell me what you see. A mother will tell her daughter, honey, I'm scared of some of your behavior that's going to cause you trouble down the road. A foolish daughter will say, mom, you're just old-fashioned. A wise daughter will say, well, mom, I love you. I appreciate you telling me this. What do you see? A supervisor may tell an employee, hey, I know it's none of my business, but I'd love to give you some advice or to give you some counsel. A foolish employee will say, well, you know what? You were right. It's none of your business. See your way out of it. A wise employee will say, I will always be open to wisdom and counsel and advice. Pride stops us from getting it. The secret of getting counsel is now out in the open. You will always need counsel. Get more than one person's eyes and mind on the situation. Number three, admit you don't know what to do. The secret of the counsel is out in the open. Let's understand why people fail to get good, wise advice. To me, there's a gripping example in Scripture of this story. It's found in the book of 2 Chronicles. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, I'll give you 15 minutes to find 2 Chronicles. It is not in the New Testament. Do not mistake 2 Chronicles for 2 Corinthians. If you don't have your copy of God's Word, it'll be up on the screen. But while you're busy looking for 2 Chronicles, the man's name is Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the son of King Solomon. He's just beginning to be king. And the union files a grievance with Rehoboam. They say, hey, your old man worked us too hard, worked us too many weekends, didn't give us enough benefits, and by the way, we want better wages. And so as the people's labor union filed a grievance with Rehoboam, we're going to pick that story up there in verse 5 of, I didn't tell you what chapter, did I? 2 Chronicles chapter 10. He said to them, he being Rehoboam, return to me again in 3 days. So the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his daddy Solomon while he was still alive, saying, how do you counsel me to answer these people? They spoke to him, saying, if you'll be kind to those people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the elders, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him, people who were in the same stage of life as he was. So Rehoboam said to them, what counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? The young men who grew up, I love that, who grew up with him, spoke to him, saying, thus you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, your father made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for us. You shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I'm going to add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. Basically, what the counsel Rehoboam is receiving from people his own age is saying, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought you had it bad. You're about to get it. Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, return to me on the third day. The king answered them harshly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders. He spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father is disciplining with whips. I'm going to discipline y'all with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from God that the Lord might establish his word, which he spoke through Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now look after your house, David. So all Israel departed to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Verse 18, then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was over the forced labor, and the sons of Israel stoned him to death. We have a labor dispute. And King Rehoboam made haste to mount his chariots to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. That's an incredible story, isn't it? Now I see the good and the bad and the ugly in this story. And I know that was a lot of verses for y'all, but it tells the story. The good I see in Rehoboam's decision is this. Number one, he asked for more time. Hey, this is the big decision. Can you give me 3 days? Almost sounds like a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Give me 3 days, mister. Give me 3 days. He said, can you give me 3 days? Because he knew this was a big decision, and it deserves some attention, and it deserves some reflection, and it deserves some thought. So he said, y'all, give me 3 days. There could have been danger in a hasty decision, a quick decision. So he asked for 3 days. Number two, he sought advice in making the decision. He wanted to listen to what other people thought before he made a decision, before he pulled the trigger. He wanted more than one mind on the issue. He wanted more than one mind on the situation. And number three, He didn't listen to just one counselor. He listened to many counselors. He didn't listen to just one group. He listened to a few groups. And those groups were made up of several people. So we got the input of several. Now that's the good. Now let me tell you about the bad. I believe that before Rehoboam ever went to anybody, he already had his mind made up. I think he already knew what he wanted to do. I'll tell you this. He wasn't looking for somebody. He wasn't looking for advice. He was looking for somebody to confirm his conviction. He was looking for somebody who would tell him what he wanted to hear. He was looking for somebody who would confirm his conviction. The reason he went to two groups for advice is what I believe is this. If the elders would have said, yep, lower the boom on him, Rehoboam, I don't think he would have went to the second group. But the reason Rehoboam went to the second group is because the first group didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. That's what I believe. I can't back it up with Scripture. I'm just telling you that as a man. The reason he went to two groups for advice was because the first group didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. Never mind. Here's the thing. Can you imagine Rehoboam walking into this room of men who had advised his own father, Solomon, who was pretty sharp in his own right? These are men of wisdom. These are men of renown. These are men who had... They were where Rehoboam wanted to go. They had already traveled this path. These are wise men, older than he was. Never mind the fact that these men had already given counsel to his daddy. Never mind the fact that these men had actually gone to where Rehoboam wanted to go. So instead of reading about Rehoboam, this is the ugly part. So instead of reading about how Rehoboam's reign was incredible, this is the story we get about Rehoboam. So in Rehoboam's story, we've got the good, we've got the bad, we've got the ugly. So far, we've looked at three secrets of getting good counsel. Number one, know that you'll always need good counsel. Number two, ask more than one person's advice. Number three, admit that you don't know what to do. And I want to give you one more secret about getting good counsel. Number four, take counsel from those who have been where you want to go. Our lives are paths that either take us closer to or further away from where we want to be. Our lives are paths that either take us closer to or further away. Asking advice or counsel from the right people, people whom you respect, who've already arrived where you want to go with their reputation and character intact, there is a real difference that you can have in your life. The wise person will seek counsel from wise people, listen to it, and walk the path that leads to where they want to go. Can you imagine how different your life would be today if you would have done these four things for the last 40 years? Moms and dads, can you imagine how different your life as a parent would be if you realized you didn't know anything? You would have got other people's opinion. You would have talked to successful parents that you respect and admire if you would have got their input. Students, imagine how much better you'll be if you enter the work world, if you link up from time to time with somebody older than you. And by the way, I hate to say this, but it's just the truth. Usually when I say wiser, I just basically mean older. Wiser people are typically older than you. And young people think they're crazy. No, it's because you're simple. You think they're crazy. We may not know how to use TiVo or DirecTV. We may not know the first thing about how to change it. Maybe there's a reason why all of our password is just basically password. That doesn't mean we're stupid.
That's right. Amen.
We've got the scars to prove it. Mm-hmm. And so, young people, I encourage you, those old people who think that you, those old people that you think are stupid, they're not stupid. They're treasures. And they're experienced. It wouldn't hurt you. And here's the thing. After you ask an older person for advice, I mean, after they regain consciousness from fading, they are typically flattered and they will help you make a decision. Students, imagine how much better your work world would be if from time to time you went to somebody older and wiser, somebody you admired, and took advice on what classes do I need to make in college, what type of professors should I make, what kind of books should I look for. And I'm going to give you a piece of advice here. Students going into college, you're going to buy used books. Look for the used books that have answers already in them. All right? Ask other people on campus, which professor do I need to stay away from? What's the best way for me to schedule my classes? Workers, imagine the steps you could have saved yourself if you sought advice from people of character and success in your field, if you would have asked for their guidance every once in a while. Some of us wonder why our plans fail so often. If we're honest, it's not that we had... The reason why our plans fail so often is not because it's probably not because of the reason we think it is, because we've sabotaged our own plans. Because we thought our best way was the only way, and our best way was with what we thought, and oftentimes our plans fail because we think our plans are God's plans, and many times the plans we have for ourselves are not God's plans for us. Today we've looked at four secrets of getting good counsel, getting good advice. Number one, know that you'll always need good counsel. Number two, ask more than one person's advice. Number three, admit you don't know it all. And number four, take counsel from those who have been where you want to go. And that usually means they're older than you, and it means that they're more experienced than you, and they're more seasoned than you. If my musicians would come forward. What are you going to do with the secrets I gave you today? What will you do with the secrets that I've shared with you during this service? What will you do with them? I'm going to give you a couple words of advice. Number one, I want you to come back next week. Nearly every state in the union has a law against using cell phones while you're driving. I'm going to show you next week how the reason that law... Go ahead, ladies, you can start playing. I'm going to show you how the reason that law is on the books was actually explained some 3,000 years ago. That reason that applies to those cell phones and cars is a warning that Solomon gave us about paying attention to the path that we're on. So come back next week and hear that. I want you to keep reading the book of Proverbs. Even if you haven't started, we're on chapter 21 today. You can still catch up on this thing. If you're behind, you can get caught up. Double up if you have to. Today, the invitation I'm going to give you centers around this. Ask God to send you the right counselors into your life. Ask God to send the right people to pour advice and guidance and wisdom into you. Pray for a humble heart to go to those people and say, hey, could you help me? Because I know you're a good parent, or I know you're a godly man, you're a godly woman, or you're a godly husband, or a godly wife. I see the success in your marriage, and I want you to help me along my path, because I want to be where you're at. You're going to pray for God to send counselors to you and for you to seek them out. And I guess the last thing I can tell you is this: follow Jesus. So I was picking through the pages of Scripture. Something dawned on me. There are two words that Jesus said nearly more than any other words, and those words were, follow me. He said, follow me. That means this. Jesus is saying, get behind me. And if we're getting behind Jesus and he says, follow me, that means Jesus has a path of his own. And that's the man I want to follow. That's the path I want to be on. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by luck. It happens by following after the Master. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Today I want to give you an invitation to do this. Would you pray today for God to send you good advisors, good counselors into your life? And I'm going to ask that you would say, God, tell me who these people are. Show me who these people are. Maybe you're a young person about ready to make some big decisions in your life. Where you're going to go to college, what you're going to do, what's going to be your career, who you're going to marry. You know, maybe it would be wise for you to say, God, would you send somebody in my life who's been married a lot of years? They've got a successful marriage. God, would you just let our paths cross? Tell me who they are. Maybe you're thinking about becoming a parent or a better parent. Say, God, help me know who the best parent is around me. I'm tired of making the same mistakes. I'm making the same mistakes my mom and dad did. And God, I want that cycle to end. Say, God, send me a good counselor who could help me with this area. Maybe it's in finances. Say, God, send me somebody to help me take care of my money. Maybe it's in the work field. Say, God, show me somebody who's further along this path than I am, who can pour into me, who I can seek out, who I can pick their brain. For some of you, you just need to say, God, break me of my pride. Let me be aware of my ignorance. Some of you think, well, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. Truth of the matter is, we can all be wiser. We all need this. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to know something. Every one of the songs we sang today, they either had the word "we" in the title or "we" in the verses. We're marching to Zion. We believe. We are the bride of Christ. You need to be honest with yourself. You're not in this mess alone. You're in this with us. You're in this together. You are not an island. We need each other. We need encouragement from one another. We need the prayers of one another. We need the counsel of one another. Today, would you pray to God, say, God, just send me the person whom I need. Let me be aware of who I need to go talk to. And here's the thing, maybe you're the counselor, maybe you're the advisor. Maybe God's going to lay on your heart saying, hey, you know what? Out of love, you need to go to that little sister, or you need to go to that little brother, and you need to offer him some help. You need to offer him something. You're down the path further than they are. They need something that you can give them. Don't do it out of arrogance. Do it out of humility. Do it out of brokenness. But do it out of love. Almighty God, as we go into this time of invitation, I pray that your people would rush the throne of grace with boldness and confidence today. Lord, you've given us some awful powerful secrets about the path this morning. And I pray that they just wouldn't roll off our backs like water off the back of a duck. But Lord, they would seek and take root in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. The invitation is open. Would you sing with me?
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for every person in this room. I pray that you would send the right person into our life and that we would seek out good counsel, good advice from those who are further along the road, who have arrived to where we want to go. And Lord, we bless your holy name. You are a good God and a gracious God. And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you. See you back tonight at 6:30. Thanks for coming out this morning.